Blog Talk Radio.
Lizzie T. Radio Show.
Canadian Show. North American Radio Show. And now, Worldwide Show. The Lizzie T. Blog Talk Radio Show. She wants to know who you are, what you do, your contact info, anything new? And now, welcome the amazing Lizzie T.
Welcome, everyone. I am your host and the producer of the Lizzie T Radio Show. We are here today, Monday to Friday, 7:30 sharp, every day with an amazing show prepared for you with a very fantastic guest. And today is not the exception. I am definitely not going to disappoint you listeners. And we've been talking lately to artists and musicians and people that are in the industry. But remember, every time that I bring somebody on, it's not always the case. They weren't always that way. They had a little story in the background, and we want to know that story because we want to know how they got where they are and how did that got started and how my guest is able to inspire you that are listening to us all over the world. Yes, you heard it right. All over the world, and I will take a couple of minutes of your time that I always take just to make sure that I thank my listeners that are all over the world listening to us right now. I am the host and the producer of the Lizzie T Radio Show. I want to know who you are, what you do, your contact info, anything new. We're listening right now to we have listeners all over the world, and I want to say a special hello to my listeners in Australia. So good morning to my Australian listeners. And also we have listeners in South America, Central America, Jamaica. Hello to my Jamaican friends, Netherlands, here through 10 beautiful provinces in Canada. We have listeners in the United States. We probably will get more listeners from New Jersey, and because that's where our guest is from, and Washington, D.C., Texas, Kansas, North Carolina. A big hello to a huge following in Long Island, New York. The list goes on in the States. Also, we have reached to Europe. We have listeners right now in Italy and Turkey, England, Nigeria, Ukraine. We had a guest yesterday from Spain, and my goodness, I am so surprised that every time I hear or I get an email or a request to be on the show that is from different parts of the world. Wow, this is why I work so hard. This is why I created this show. My dream as a little girl, I told you guys the story earlier, that to become a host of my own radio show, and now it's been accomplished. And now we are launching, the last 6 months, we are doing the Lizzie T Show on YouTube. So we have a YouTube channel. So if you're in the Toronto area and you want to be part of the Lizzie T Radio Show, you are welcome to call us and send us an email at radio@lizt.ca, radio@lizt.ca, or if you're in Toronto area here in Canada, we would love to have you on the Lizzie T TV show now that has been running for the last 6 months. So thank you again for your support, everyone. Thank you for being part of this amazing network that we have created, and I cannot be so humble and be able to share with you the amazing network. Also, in the news, I always like to try to talk about things that are pertaining all over the world, and today is not going to be the exception. There is a special day for today, and I will talk about it, pause. This is next week. Also, we are in the fall here in Toronto, Canada, and for you that have Google, you can always search the beautiful pictures that are showing, the beautiful colors. As all of you know, I'm a runner. I love to be outdoors running. I have never experienced more gorgeous color of the year than this year. I don't know if I'm because I'm more outdoors than ever, then I find that the colors of the greens and the yellows and the oranges and the copper, they're just are stronger than ever. So perhaps you want to take a look at it and Google it, Ontario colors in the fall. You will probably be surprised. And they might want to give you that feeling, hey, I perhaps would like to visit Canada. Continue on. Also, just remember that right after the interview, we will be playing songs. What is a radio show without songs, right? For you that are a sing-songwriter, an artist, and you want a little bit of an extra exposure for your music, here at the Lizzie T Radio Show, we're 150% supportive of your music, of your craft. Send us your MP3 at radio@lizt.ca. We'll be happy to play it as long as it's PR rated. We have no problem. Remember, my kids listen to my show. I wanted to make sure that it's the right combination for all of us here. Today, we will be playing the brand new single from Andrea Goodman. It's a Canadian singer-songwriter from Canada. She will be singing the song Pages. Brand new single. Also, we'll be playing Lyra. She's a singer-songwriter from the Ukraine, which we had the honor and privilege also interviewing here at the Lizzie T Radio Show. And last but not least, a singer-songwriter from New York. This song is by Sorrentis. So thank you again for sending your MP3. And again, we're supporting you singer-songwriters to be able to have that little bit of that extra exposure for your music. Also, I want to make sure that I thank my sponsors. We're being sponsored by naturenova.ca, and we're also being sponsored by Columbia Fashion here in Canada. The store is in Toronto. And last but not least, we're being sponsored by WeddingSavers.ca. If you know a couple that are struggling financially and they want to have a wedding, but they're not able to, this group, Wedding Savers, puts together vendors, photographers, wedding dresses people, and party and wedding planners, and voila. The wedding is happening. So make sure that you do apply. The website is weddingsavers.ca. Continuing on with my show, before we run out of time, and that's not going to be cool, I want to make sure that you do like us in Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter. And again, as I mentioned, we are also on YouTube.
Lizzie T. Radio Show.
Well, with all my announcements and all my housekeeping being taken care of, let's all welcome our wonderful, wonderful guest that is. We'll be talking about books. We'll be talking about his career. We'll be talking about different things that this fellow has done. His name is Rich. But before I bring him on, here's a little bio. Rich Marcello. If Rich Marcello could choose only one creative mentor, he'd give the role to Jonathan Richmond and Modern Lovers. This is not only because he currently resides in New England, where Jonathan started, but because of his life as a contemporary fiction author, poet, and songwriter, whose literary inspiration often stems from songs he's written. Rich grew up in New Jersey, surrounded by songs and words. For a while, it seemed right to travel the musician's path, especially during his Sting and his college folk group at the University of Notre Dame, where he wrote and recorded his first original song. But as is true of many musicians, graduation led him down to a different road, one on which he found his love for high technology. There he enjoyed a successful career as a technology executive, managing several multi-million dollar businesses for Fortune 500 companies. During this time in technology, he's never stopped creating art, and eventually his love for song and written words grew to the point where he walked away from his first career to pursue poetry, song, and fiction with the same enthusiasm and discipline he demonstrated in business. Let's all welcome with a huge round of applause, and let's all of you feel, make him feel comfortable here at the Lizzy T Radio Show. So here is Rich. Hello, hello, and welcome, welcome to the Lizzy T Radio Show, Rich. How are you doing today?
I'm actually great, and thank you very much for having me on the show. I really appreciate the time.
It's our pleasure and honor, Rich. So let's get started. I always like to start my show just making you feel comfortable. This is all about the Lizzy T Radio Show. Just forget that it's a radio interview and forget that 10,000 people might be listening to you right now. But tell me a little bit about yourself. But first of all, what's your favorite drink?
Well, I like iced tea, actually. So I'm a big iced tea drinker. And I think I don't drink a lot of hard alcohol, although I do really like red wine. I'm a big Italian red wine drinker as well. So iced tea and wine, I think, are my two staples.
Fantastic. And thank you so much for playing along. Here at Lizzy T Radio Show, we've had everything from pina colada to Shirley Temples to margaritas and wines, obviously. And I can tell by your last name, you're Italian, so red wine it is. My favorite, which is lemon water. That's what I'm drinking here right now. So thank you so much for playing along. This is great. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us, other than the business person that you were and you are, the writer, the singer-songwriter, who is Rich? Is he married? Does he have kids?
Yeah, so I'm married. I actually have a son who lives in New York City. I live on a lake in Massachusetts in a house that actually has a writing studio, which I go to every day at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm very much write every day. I'm working on my novel. So, and I live with my wife, and I also have two very large black dogs named Ani and Shaman, who are Newfoundlands.
Well, thank you so much for making it personable. This is fantastic. I mean, we want to know the artist, who you are, but we also want to know the person. And this is really what makes it interesting here at the Lizzy T Radio Show. So you got started. You went to college. You were always in the music industry. You were writing. Now you're writing a book, but it wasn't always that way. Can you tell us, how did you actually got started into, were you always into poetry, into music? I mean, it's really hard to see guys doing, writing poetry. Like, I mean, what inspired you?
Well, so, you know, when I was in college, I was really broke, had no money whatsoever. And though at the time I really loved writing songs, I loved writing poetry, and I had a real interest in writing novels. And I had my professor, who was actually the dean of the humanities department at Notre Dame, say, hey, I'll mentor you and teach you how to write novels if you'd like to do that. But I really couldn't do it financially, so I decided instead to go off and make some money. During that time when I was basically working in high tech, as you kind of mentioned in your introduction, I kept writing songs, I kept writing poetry. That was really my first love. I dabbled in writing short stories or chapters of a book, whatever, to just kind of get started on the novel process. And then about 4 years ago, I got an idea to write three different books about different kinds of love. And so the first book, The Color of Home, was published in 2013 by Langdon Street Press and is really about romantic love. And the book that just came out in July called The Big Wide Calm is more about platonic love. And then I'm actually working on a third book called The Beauty of the Fall, which will be out in 2015, 2016. So kind of this trilogy on love is what's really been focus of my attention for these last years, though I really have about, I would say, 10 different ideas for books. And I plan to live in this house, go to my writing studio every day, and basically write for the rest of my life. And hopefully, if all goes well, I'll be able to publish all 10 of those novels.
My goodness, I'm having difficulty to write my first book. It's been in the works for Lex, and you, here you are writing three books all at once. Would you always, I mean, I'd love to speak to your wife right now. Would you always this romantic, this person that loved poetry, or is that something that it was cultivated in your home, being able to be open to your feelings? Very interesting to know that.
Yeah, so when I was very young, I went through a pretty tragic time. My father, when I was 13, actually died in my arms, and it was a very violent death. And so what happened as a result of that is that, you know, if you're going to basically kind of go through that kind of pain and come out of it, you get in touch with how you feel and what you believe and what's really important to you. And so I would say, as a result of that, one of the primary outlets, if not the only outlet, was music, poetry, writing what I believed emotionally down on paper in one form or the other. And so really ever since then, ever since I was 13, I think I cultivated it more and more. I played in bands in college, kept writing in college, kept writing throughout my technology career. And it finally kind of got to the point where I just needed to do it full time. I really needed to basically kind of create art on a daily basis. And so that's what I've been doing.
And good for you that you're able to take your experience, your horrible experience with your father, and turn it into something so beautiful. That is what you're doing right now, writing those books, writing about love. I mean, most of us and most people out there, when they have a tragic situation like this, like somebody passing, most of the time they go in depression, they go find comfort in some sort of addiction, but not you. And this is very interesting about you, that you're meant to be that. I like when you said, I needed to be doing this. And this is very rare to be able to say to yourself, I have to stop doing what I'm doing, my job, my 9-to-5, and I need to be doing this. So at home, are you always this romantic as well? I mean, I love your voice, by the way. You could definitely run your own radio show. But at home, do you portray the same feelings as your book? Because it could, you know, some writers, they have their writer's life, and then they have their home life.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely aspire to do that every day. I'm sure that there are days when I get it right and there are days where I don't. But on the days where I don't get it right, you know, it's something that I try to learn from, and I try to basically grow as a result, and just come back to it next time. I think as I get older, you know, there's this whole idea of basically being able to be perfectly romantic or perfectly loving or perfectly anything is really not possible. And so it's much more about just kind of accepting who you are and what you believe. And when you make a mistake, you just basically kind of own up to it, talk about it, and work through it. That actually ends up being something that pulls you closer together. And so I think that's been my experience. I do think that writing about love, especially in the first book where it was about romantic love, it's a very humbling experience. You know, you basically, we all think we know what it means to be in love. And in fact, in some ways we do. But when you actually sit down and commit it to paper and you kind of go through sentences and paragraphs and chapters and scenes over and over again to make sure that it really is reflective of what you believe, then you learn a lot about yourself. And so I think there was a tremendous growth period for me in writing that first book. And then I think when I got to The Big Wide Calm, you know, I had basically learned my craft pretty well and I caught a wave. And so I basically wrote the first draft of that book in 3 months. And that book was about kind of figuring out how a young woman. So I actually did something that I was really proud of, which was I basically made the protagonist a younger female character. And I think, you know, one of my aspirations as a writer was to always be able to write any character, male or female, and be able to write them well. And so I was really happy with the way she turned out. But I think more importantly, I was trying to basically invoke an emotional reaction in the reader when they kind of learned about Paige's journey and what she went through and how she grew over time, and really have them feel along with her as she learned to truly and deeply love. And so that book came a little bit easier to me, yet I think the topic is in many ways just as difficult. You know, platonic love and people really truly loving one another, regardless of whether there's any sex involved or any romance involved, is also a really important topic and not something that's discussed, I think, often enough in our society.
And on that note, as a male writer, my goodness, I can't put myself as a female person to put myself in a male's shoes. As a male writer, how difficult was to write about a strong woman?
Well, I mean, I really wanted her to be strong and smart and sexy, and so I think you know, those elements are true in men and women. But as I mentioned, I caught a wave. And so in what I mean by catching a wave is that when that happens, it's almost like I just had to make room so that I could channel the character through me. And my friends laugh and they say, hey, you know, there must have been a 25-year-old female in you all of these years. And maybe that's true, right? But, you know, I just kind of opened up and got into the character of Paige Plant. I spent a lot of time up front getting her voice right and making sure that I really knew how she thought and what she believed and how she would talk and what she would go do in particular situations. And then once I did that, it just basically flowed. And then I did with, I would say, a good, I don't know, 15 to 20 women after I wrote the first pass. And actually, even when I was writing some of it, check in with them and say, hey, does this sound like a woman? Does it sound like a 25-year-old? Does it sound kind of know, like a strong female character? And I got resounding feedback that it did. And so I kind of knew I was on the right track at that point.
Wow. Interesting. This is very, very interesting. You are listening to the Lizzie T. Radio Show. We are here with an amazing artist, a writer. And this guy does not only write music, poetry and novels. He is working on 3 books all at once. I was saying earlier, I don't know how he does it. I've been trying to finish my only book. And this is. And some people have the gift, and some people love what they do. He is one of the ones first to admit of saying that he needed to do this. It's very rare to meet someone and say, I need to stop what I'm doing and I need to do this because this is what I'm meant to do in my life. And I really value that on someone. If you're listening to us right now, and if you had just tuned in, you're listening to the Lizzie T Radio Show. I am the host and the producer, and I have with me a writer. If you have any questions for me or my guest, this is a recorded show, and you can email us at radio@lizt.ca. Very easy. Radio, because it is a radio show, at lizt.ca for Canada. Now, Rich, the Lizzie T Radio Show is all about, tell us who you are, what you do. You're doing an amazing job. Contact info for people that are listening to us right now all over the world. Where can people reach you? Can you please share with us your website, your email, your social media? By the way, everyone, right after the interview, I will be posting all of those links on my social media, plus on my website, lizt.com, and you'll be able to link up. But I just wanted to make sure that he shares with us his information.
Yeah, sure. So probably the easiest way to get in touch with me is through my website, which is www.richmarcello.com. You can also find me on Twitter, at Marcello R, where I publish a lot of my poetry. And then the books are available pretty much at every bookstore online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, iTunes, pretty much anywhere around the world. You should be able to get a copy of the book, either a hard copy or an electronic version. I'm also on Goodreads. You just kind of look for Rich Marcello and you find the books listed there. And on Pinterest as well. And so pretty much all of the social media outlets, there is an account there, and you'll be able to learn more about the book through any of those.
Fantastic. And thank you so much for sharing. I love how people know how to promote themselves. It's not like trying to pull teeth, but they just go ahead and they say and they do a great job, and you're doing a great job as well. Rich, what would you say that is the biggest and the most important lesson that you have learned by being able to write those books?
Well, you know, because I was focusing on love and different kinds of love, and because I like to distill things down to one kind of big overall idea, it's basically that even, you know, as regardless of the type of love you're talking about, whether it's romantic love or platonic, or how you love in a larger community and how you really make a difference, which is what the third book is about, the first piece is really just to learn to love yourself and to accept yourself and to really believe in yourself. And I think as I did the research for the books, as I basically went more and more into the characters, anytime there would be a conflict that was happening in the story, or anytime something would not go particularly well, it was mostly around someone not really treating themselves well and not really kind of looking in the mirror and say, hey, look, I'm very much okay as I am. I'm really kind of doing the best I can, and I really do kind of love myself, and I love the life that I have, and I want to go live it to the fullest capability that I have. That's probably the thing that gets in the way the most, and I think that is the biggest lesson I learned from writing these three books.
And it's true, and it's true. Rich, I always like to ask my guests this question, and you're not going to be the exception. We have people listening to us all over the world, and some of them aspired to be a singer-songwriter or a book writer or do poetry just like you're doing right now, and they're having difficulties. You had a perfect plan, Rich. You worked for many years. I assume it looks like you were able to save up enough in order for you to just dedicate yourself to your passion, your love. But some people are not having that kind of luck, and they're thinking of giving up, and they have that in their mind and probably great idea. What would you say to them right now? Maybe one, maybe two. Great if you can come up with three words of advice. How could they do what you're doing, basically?
Well, I think the most important thing is to not give up and to not give up on the dream. And then basically accept the fact that what you really need to do with your life is your art and what you really love, whatever that is, whether it's poems, songs, music, whatever. And then I think putting that out there, you'll find a way. You know, you may not live in the biggest house, or you may not live the most beautiful city, or you may have to compromise in one way or another, but it'll all be worth it because you'll basically be doing the thing that you truly love doing. And when you do that and you kind of get to the end of the journey, you can look back and say that you've had a fulfilled life. I know too many people who basically, as you say, kind of gave up or kind of chose to go a safer route. And I think, many of them, while it might have been financially the right thing to do, or there might have been external commitments, have that feeling of regret in their gut. And I think, if you're going to live a full life and a happy life when you're at the end, not having that feeling of regret, I think, is a really important part of it. And so kind of staying true to what you love and who you are is critical to do that, regardless of any of the external referenced things like money or status or where you live.
Love it. Love it. Thank you so, so much. You deserve an applause. And here what I got, everyone, I mean, one of the common elements with somebody like Bridge, which I love those words of inspiration, and I love the wisdom. I would say 90% of the people that I interview, and whether they're successful or not, and I'm talking about financially successful, whether they have the millions or not, one of the common ROM is do not give up, number one. Love it. And it's true. It doesn't matter what is it that you do. Do not give up ever, ever. You could be on your deathbed and you could be thinking, I should have and I could have. You're not going to have that because it didn't work, but you kept trying. Number two, accept of what you meant to do. And it's so true. I've actually never heard that one before. I've heard everything, but not that one. It's really difficult for us to accept that we are meant to be doing this instead of that. We want to be able to compromise, and that's exactly what he said. And put it out there, number three. It's so good to be able to tell others, and I find that this is kind of along the line with the law of attraction. Once you've spread the word, even if it's not going to happen, it's like me saying I'm writing this book. I am writing it. Just make sure you have it out there for people to be able to at least have an accountability. That's half of the work done. And number four, and last but not least, do not live life with regret. It's the worst thing in life to be able to say I should have. Again, because you didn't give up, that's not going to happen. This is amazing. Love it. And this is really what my book is all about also, is to be able to compile all those great stories of inspiration, like yourself, Rich, and like many other people, to be able to share with the world. And the common ground, again, is always, always that inspiration and that not giving up sense. Rich, I want to thank you so much for being able to be part of the Lizzie T Radio Show here in Toronto, Canada, all the way from New Jersey, and sharing your book, sharing your website, sharing your information, sharing words of inspiration to all of my listeners all over the world. And this has been great. Any last word?
Just thanks for having me. I really appreciated the conversation and all the great questions on your part. And if anybody has any follow-on questions, as you mentioned earlier, I'm happy to answer them through email.
Fantastic. Pause. Okay, Rich. We still have some time. There's anything that I missed, anything that you think that you want to add, anything that perhaps you wanted to emphasize actually, you know what? I do have, because my theme is tell me who you are, what you do, contact info, anything new. So let me ask you that. Is something you're working on? You are, right?
Okay.
Most people are.
I am.
Most people are. There you go. Perfect.
Yeah,
okay, just one second.
Okay.
You are listening to the Lizzie T Radio Show. We are here today. It's Friday, October October the 24th. My goodness, time is flying by, and we are getting closer to November, getting closer to Christmas, and pretty soon we'll be celebrating New Year's, and here it is, another year with the Lizzie T Radio Show, which is wonderful. This is really what I work towards. I have another question for Ridge, and really, this is what the Lizzie T Radio Show is all about. Tell us who you are, what you do, contact info, anything new. I know we are all working on Plan B, Plan C, Plan D. What's new, Ridge? What are you working on? What's your biggest promotion right now?
So I'm actually working on my third novel. It's Beauty of the Fall. And basically, I'm about 150 pages or so into writing that now. And I hope to have that out in 2015, 2016. That's a little bit of a departure from the first two novels, in that the first two novels had characters who were musicians, poets in them. This is really more about a businessman who's basically trying to figure out a way to redefine American business in a way that is healthier and really resonates with employees and with all of the stakeholders who actually use the product. And so it's been a lot of fun writing it, and it's going really well. And, you know, I think as I write each book, I continue to grow as a writer. And so I think just skill-wise, I'm feeling really good about what I've written so far. And I'm looking forward to getting that one out there in 2015 and 2016.
Wow. Third book. Fantastic. Congratulations. My goodness. Now, would you say, Rich, that this is the third book, which you're dealing with employees and employers, has a little bit to do with the influence that you being on the corporate life after leaving and seeing a lots of the ins and outs of the Fortune 500 series, and perhaps helping out managers and employees to run better, to better run their business?
Yeah, I mean, I think many American companies have lost their original focus. If you think about it in terms of what a company should do, should serve shareholders, it should serve employees, and should serve customers. And over the last 30, 40 years, a lot of the focus has been just on the shareholders and not nearly as much on customers and on employees. And you can even extend that idea about serving the community and basically building something of value that is long-lasting instead of short-term focused. And so this is all about, this book, The Beauty of the Fall, is all about how you might basically recast business so that it is much healthier, much more holistic, and really does kind of embody some of the values that I just talked about. And so, like I said, it's going really well. The main character's name is Dan Underlight. He goes through an awful lot of stuff initially. A lot of things happen to them that are not particularly good, but he has a lot of resilience. And so he basically uses all of that stuff and is able to flip it and turn it into something that basically addresses all those things I just talked about.
Wow. And who would you say is your target market? The CEO of the company, the manager of the company? And I mean, companies in Canada and the U.S., the only thing that I hear most is the most popular word in the last 10 years, I would say, cut, downsize, downgrade, outsource. I've never heard that more in my life.
I think that's right, and I think that's one of the reasons why we've lost our focus in business. I mean, I think there was a time when a company was a proud contributor to the community and that whole towns could sprout up and people could spend their life working somewhere and really raise their families and educate their kids and do all kinds of positive things in the community. And I think we basically, because of the focus mostly on kind of financial short-term results, have lost that focus. I think we've also lost the focus on building products that really are going to be around for the long run and really are there to kind of solve a set of, problems that customers really have. And so I think it goes off and it tries, this guy basically is trying to redefine, he doesn't know he's doing it in the book, but he's basically building something that has a shot at redefining American business, and it may or may not work out. I haven't gotten that far in the book yet, but basically, I do think that that issue, and as you kind of correctly mentioned, it's anybody who's gone through that, anybody who's basically been outsourced or downsized, or anyone who's worked at a larger company, will understand that the focus has really shifted to the detriment of employees, and actually, I think as a result, to the detriment of customers as well. And so I think it has to change. I think there's this whole notion of an enlightened kind of company, one that really does good in multiple dimensions, builds great products, takes care of their employees, basically does good in the community, does good for their customers. And so hopefully this will generate a little bit of conversation on that particular topic and help move that conversation forward.
That's fantastic that you have the hopes that to be able to help people that have been affected to any of those changes in companies. And you never know, as you said it earlier, put it out there. That might be a different way of corporation thinking how to treat their employees and to have a much better impact in society as a company. So you never know. You might create something great and, like I said, put it out there, like Ashley, like you said.
Yeah, no, I'm a big believer in putting it out there. So we're in sync on that point.
Okay. I think we are almost done on time. Let me know if there is anything else that you want to add before I pretty much stop recording.
Yeah, no, I think we're good. I think we covered a lot of ground. So that was a great interview.
Yes.
So thank you very much for that.
Oh, sweetheart. My pleasure.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So you asked very good questions.
Yeah, no, that's my goal, hon. That's my goal. Just let me stop recording here. I'll put 1 second.
I read the letter you sent. So many words wrote down. I think that maybe it's time to turn a page now. This ain't no happy ending. It's feeling more like a curse. I just want one more. I'm lost.
I'm your host and the producer of the Lizzie T Radio Show, and we're coming to the end of the show, unfortunately. We have the last song to play. This song is from Sorrento, a singer, a songwriter from the United States, and this song is called Fourth. Host and the producer of the Lizzie T Radio Show, and our last song is from Lyra. This song is called Hero.
Коли здається, що земля втікає із спідніх і чорні хмари оточили синє небо. У мене біля серця є цілющий оберіг, і хвилюватись ні про що мені не треба. Коли здається, що і сил, надії вже нема, і опускаються додолу мої руки. У мене за спиною є міцна жива стіна, що не віддасть мене на жодні муки.
здається, що усе приречене на крах, і віри в міри більше вже чомусь немає. Умить куди зникає мій первісний білий страх, наче своє мені хтось тихо підставляє. Коли здається, що накрив морозний мокрий сніг, хоча в душі мої палазують сильна спека. Хтось обережно відверта непрохідний доріг, його рука життя мого безпека.
Producer of the Lizzie T Radio Show. We will be back on Monday with another show, another fantastic guest. I'm your host and the producer of the Lizzie T Radio Show. And make it, everyone, a fantastic weekend.
Lizzie T Radio Show.
Canadian Show. North American Radio.